Will oil exporters cut production in response to the coronavirus? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. Ministers from the oil-exporting countries that make up OPEC will meet in Austria today to discuss how to respond to the fall in prices triggered by the outbreak of COVID-19. The price of crude oil has dropped by about 25% since early January, as measures to limit the spread of the virus mean fewer people are travelling. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker told me more about the two-day meeting in Vienna.
Day one is OPEC, Saudi Arabia being the biggest member, and the Saudis want to see further cuts in production. The group has already been managing lower levels of production to try and keep prices up. They want to see further cuts of the order of 1 million to 1.5 million barrels per day. Doesn't look like it's going to be all that difficult to get agreement from the rest of OPEC, but the bigger challenge will be day two, on Friday, when they meet Russia as well, and a number of other non-OPEC member countries. Russia in particular has so far been reluctant to commit itself to going on with any further restraints on production.
Because countries like Russia and even OPEC itself don't want to be the first to act on this and put themselves possibly at a disadvantage.
That's right. They don't want to be in a position whereby they are taking the pain of reduced production while others who aren't are getting the benefit of the recovery in the price. Now, it must be said there are going to be plenty of oil producers around the world who aren't going to take part in this. In Western Europe and particularly in the United States, OPEC recognises that is always been the case. But they do want to have a contribution from some non-members, most importantly Russia.
And if we do see a cut in production agreed to, how soon will prices go back up?
Well, if the cut is relatively large and if there is a commitment to make it last a reasonably long period of time, up to the end of the year perhaps, then you'd expect to see some degree of recovery in the price pretty much immediately. Not because the oil immediately comes on stream, or rather the cuts immediately come into effect, but because the markets are very much forward-looking and they will recognise that the supply and demand balance is going to change in the future. On the other hand, and if there's no great agreement, then I think you could expect to see prices fall pretty sharply.
Andrew Walker. And IATA, the international airline industry body, now predicts the coronavirus will cause a much bigger loss in revenues for commercial flights this year. It expects total revenue losses of between $60 and $110 billion, depending on the spread of the virus. The warning comes as the UK regional airline Flybe said COVID-19 was partly to blame for its collapse. It's gone into administration, leaving passengers stranded at airports this morning. Let's do the numbers. European shares have fallen today, with London's FTSE down 108 points, or 1.6%, to 6,708. But it was a different story in Asia, with investors there cheered by global central bank moves to mitigate the impact of the coronavirus. Earlier this year, the Australian holiday destination of Kangaroo Island suffered enormous wildfires. Half the island was burned, two people died, a hotel went up in flames, and scores of wildlife perished. Now, with the fires extinguished, the community is trying to rebuild, as I recently found out.
So we've got scones are fresh out the oven, served them with a homemade lavender jelly.
Sophie Sheridan runs a lavender farm and cafe. When bushfires recently spread across Kangaroo Island, there was a chance her business could go up in flames.
It was just so dark and smoke come right over the top of us, and we just thought, oh my God, we've just got to get out of here. And there was just this great big red glow.
Luckily, the lavender farm was spared, but with half of the island scorched, many tourists cancelled their trips and Sophie's customer numbers dropped by 75%.
The first thing I wanted to do was keep my staff on. We just reduced hours slightly so we don't have to put off any of our staff members.
But it's a different story for Sophie's husband, David Sheridan. Everyone on the island calls him Buzzer. He's the skipper of a cray fishing boat. That means he usually spends the summer out at sea for days at a time, pulling lobsters out of the ocean. The Kangaroo Island fishing industry wasn't affected by the fires, but now it's been dealt a serious blow. Coronavirus.
There's no price at the moment, so the exporters are holding fish in tanks, and because they can't sell them in China, they probably are selling a few in Australia, but we cannot hold them in tanks forever. So they've stopped buying off us virtually.
Buzzer and his crew can't turn to the local market in Australia because that requires a separate business licence.
We even took time off to fight the fires and now we're off again. So, yeah, now we're not in a good spot just at the minute.
Terrifying images of the Australian bushfires were broadcast around the world. But with the fires now extinguished, locals are trying to get the message out. Kangaroo Island is open for business. Some tourists are returning. At a local pub, tour guide Birgit and her group of German visitors enjoyed fish and chips.
There's definitely still a lot to see, and it's really worthwhile coming over here. It's a bit sad that we can't get into the national park, which is really great, but there shouldn't be a reason to cancel the trip.
Even in the badly burnt parts of the island, tiny green shoots are emerging from the ashes. Business owners here are hoping for a speedy economic recovery too. On Kangaroo Island, I'm the BBC's Vivienne Nunes for Marketplace. And researchers at one of China's top universities have built a robot they say could help save lives during the coronavirus outbreak. They've devised a robotic arm on wheels that can perform tasks normally undertaken by doctors, such as ultrasounds and taking mouth swabs. Doctors in Wuhan started training to use the robot today. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.